thank you for your word. Your word is holy. And Lord, as we meditate upon your word, pour your spirit upon us, so Lord, that we may understand, we may receive. And as for me, I, Lord, commit myself in your hands. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and mind, glorify the name of our Saviour, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please do take your seats. Third Sunday of the Advent. It's just unbelievable that how quickly the time goes. I have been focusing on the second coming or the return of Christ. That first Sunday's theme or the topic I gave heading, the importance or the centrality of the return of Christ to our Christian faith. Second Sunday, the last Sunday, was the title given, the sequence of the event. Of course, that was a bit difficult, one that there were a lot of young people here in the church who are not regular church members, and also that is the one issue about the coming or the return of Christ, where the Church of Christ is often divided or have got a difference of opinion. That, and I did mention that the main difference is about that the difficult periods which the Bible talks about, a 1,000 years reign of Christ, that when is that going to happen? Some believe that it is before the end of the world. The other people believe that time will be in the middle of the difficult times when Christ comes and takes the church back home to his Father's home. And the third group says that, well, that will not be like that, but it will happen when the church has gone through the difficult times, and then Christ will rescue his church. I don't keep it secret that I come from the first group, where people believe, and of course from God's word, that there are two events in Christ's coming. One is that he comes to take his bride home, and some people call it a rapture, and the other is when his second coming is, and when the end comes. But what I did not mention was that, and if you have got my notes, you know it, that I wrote that yes, this is the one on which we differ, but our salvation is not dependent on that. How do we believe about the rapture? Is it before, middle, or at the end of it? Our salvation is dependent upon the sacrifice of our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. And I have in my notes written that I hope that if you believe differently than me, then at the end of the service we will be still friends. Today, I am focusing on predicting the unpredictable. Because in the first session I did mention that Christ's return is to remain always, his coming is to remain always unpredictable, imminent, every generation of Christians to wait that his coming is in our times. His coming is imminent. But I did warn us that never ever to be taken by the people who set the dates, because Jesus himself said that no one, even in his humanity, he did not know even about the day when that will occur or when that will come. Come 2017, and if you are one of those people who keep eye on what is happening, what people predict on different issues, you probably already know that there are those who are predicting that it is 2017 when Christ is coming. Tough. Let them predict whatever. Christ can come before I finish this sermon. Amen. Or Christ may not return in my lifetime. Amen. That is how the church should live. He may return before Napo gets down from the pulpit, or he may not yet return until there are 3-4 more rectors who have come here and gone. So forget about those who set the dates and so on. But predicting the unpredictable. When John sent the messengers to Christ, "Who are you? Are you the one? Or shall we wait for somebody else?" Jesus did not say that go and tell him, I am. Jesus said to them that go and tell John what you have seen. And then Jesus gave the list of things what were happening. Go and tell John. Why did Jesus not say that I am the Messiah? Tell him that don't be doubtful. Instead, Jesus said, these things you see happening, go and report to John. If you look in the Old Testament about the first advent of Christ, there was this sequence of events. These were the sort of things that the Messiah was supposed to be doing. And for those who were well-versed in the Bible, or who knew their Bible, they were to know that when they saw somebody performing or doing those acts, that this indeed is the Messiah. When it comes to the second coming or the return of Christ Jesus, there is again a clear roadmap within our Bible that Jesus has said that these things should be taking place before my return. You know that, as I said earlier, that Christ's return is imminent, it is unpredictable. And that unpredictability, as far as I understand from the scripture, is for the church, when church will be taken home by the Lord. But there are plenty of signs which should be happening before his second coming, before his, as some say, that he comes to rescue the natural Israel, or some would say that before the judgment arrives. And if you look Luke chapter 12 verse 40, there it is very clearly that telling the church to be prepared, for you do not know when your Lord will return. But then from there you turn to Luke chapter 21, and there I will just read a couple of verses. There it is written, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Verses 29 to 31 in Luke chapter 21. So in the first place, church, be ready. There is no sign as such given to you. Be prepared. It could be, as I said earlier, before Napo steps out from this pulpit, or it well could be from this time onward, five rectors or even more, who knows. Always be prepared. But when it comes to the end, there are these signs. When you see these happening, know, as you know, when the summer is near, that the kingdom of God is near. There are many, many signs and many, many those highlights in the Bible to see those and know that his coming, i.e. the end, is at hand. I will just only mention few of those. There are plenty. Some of you probably know even more than I do know, but let me mention few. First of all, I want to start with the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Daniel, one of the most wonderful prophecy, in its chapter 12, some of the translations had it, the end times. And in that chapter, there is one verse, verse 44. It almost seems that harmless verse there, but listen. It says, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. And listen now, many will go here and there to increase the knowledge. The meaning is that before the end comes, the knowledge will be absolutely huge. I came to the West in 1980, not in the third world, a much, much developed country, Finland, 1980, not yet 40 years ago. And there it was still a science fiction that one day we will be speaking on the phones and we will be able to see each other. It was just less than 40 years ago, just a science fiction. Today it is reality. And let me be bold to say, a man or a woman who died 1,000 years ago, if he, she returned 200 years ago, they would recognize their world. But man or a woman who died 100 years ago, they return today, they will not recognize. But what is this world? Why? Because of the increase of the knowledge. Here are medical doctors sitting, and here are theologians who have visited 4 universities. But let me be bold again to say about the knowledge. Here are young people sitting with this little machine in their hands. Well, some, of course, young at heart as well are sitting with those little machines. They just need to turn that machine on, press few buttons, and you take any medical topic and you think that you know it better, they will give you run for your money within no time, because it is all there under their one finger. When it comes to the theology or preaching, that let them be challenged by me or something, and once again they will press few buttons and press, and they have got any topic whatsoever of the Bible, thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons right in front of there, they can run you out within no time. That is the reality of the knowledge, what Daniel was told will be before the end arrives. Second is about man's ability to eliminate whole human or whole life. There are many references in the Old Testament, many in the New Testament, but I just want to read one verse, the words of our Savior, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. Now, many people try to spiritualize this verse, thinking that because elsewhere Jesus said that yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? But I don't think that Jesus here was talking about the faith, because that verse says that this verse, what I read to say, says that for the sake of the elect, i.e., there will be still people of faith on this earth, but he still would have to cut them short, because unless it is done, no one would survive. That is to me man's ability to eliminate whole life. What were the weapons of the people that who did get inspired and wrote this book? The greatest, probably a sword. Can you eliminate the whole life with a sword from all the planet Earth? Of course not. Even the last two big wars, it was not possible to eliminate whole life with those weapons. But today, do I need to say that we can, within no time, eliminate whole life many times over? And if you are interested even to see that how, when Christ's church is gone, that how humanity is going to end and with what set of weapons they are going to end themselves up, you can look at the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14. And if you understand anything like a little bit like me about that how people die in nuclear holocaust, there it is, Zechariah chapter 14. It all happening in our generation. The third I have picked up is about the spirit of lawlessness. Jesus spoke about it. Paul specially spoke in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that again, in every generation there were evil people. There were horrible things happening not long ago. Hitler was on the scene as well. But the point is that these violences, this lawlessness was somehow in certain pockets. But what is happening today to this world? You just need to have a quick look on any your newspaper or any your news. We thank God that we still live in safety. But let me ask you, I guess that number of us, we were here 5 or 6 decades ago when we in this country still left our front doors open. Anybody who would dare to leave your front door open today? Once upon a time, West Europe was regarded safe place. You would be horrified if you knew the figures that how many imminent threats of attacks within our own countries they have been just at the last moment caught, and praise God, no destruction took place. Nowhere safety whatsoever, absolute lawlessness creeping over all the world. The fourth I have picked up is the possibility of one government and one economic system in this world. And this I'm picking up from Revelation chapter 13, and I will tell you one figure, and from there you will know that where that is to be found. It is about the figure or the number 666. There have been all sorts of interpretations, and let those who interpret it, let them do it, fail to find it out that it is Hitler or is it Napoleon, not Napoleon John, but Napoleon Bonaparte, who had the number 666. But the fact of the matter is that this is talking about one economic system, one government. In other words, there is a possibility to control, have a control over the whole economy of the world from one central point. And with our technological developments, those of us who know the finances, those of us who have spent years and years in university studying economics, understanding this, they can tell you that today it is absolutely a possibility. When I did my last master's in 2000, and I was astonished that the way it was pushed by the learned people, I'm talking about the respected professors, that once upon a time it was the state or the nation state which was able to resolve the problems, the difficulties. Now those problems are gone beyond. You, the learned people, you need to now think of a system which is global, which is universal, to deal with the problems. That is talking about the possibility of one government system. Actually, the institutions are already there. It is only a matter of time when these things are implemented. Then I have got the fifth, wars and rumors of war. League of Nations, present UN, was formed to stop wars. But the fact of the matter is that there have been more wars and more killing since the establishment of this so-called noble institutions. Recessions in nations come and go. But has anybody ever seen a weapon-making industry in recession? There is the ability of human being for the wars and the killing. There is hardly ever any news where you will not hear about any wars or conflicts going on. Sixthly, I have picked up from Luke chapter 21, verse 11, globalization of horrific diseases. With the increase of our travel, this year I don't think I need to go any further, that how easily it is that any time any epidemic can become international without possibility of controlling. Last, but I think most well known, that what Bible describes in Luke chapter 21, verses 25-26, Revelation chapter 11, the shout back of the nature. just look at what is happening. And it is not a preacher who is a fear monger. You just listen to the scientists, that how they are telling. Even our environment conferences now tell very clearly, change or die soon. What they are talking, that we are rapidly destroying. God's word already mentioned, before the very end comes, that is what man will do to the nature. Just few these highlights. We are standing on the right, on the edge. When one day the Lord will return with a shout and with the trumpet to take his home. And it is my hope and prayer that as we prepare for his return, that we may also remember as a church that the Lord has given us this ministry. So to call men and women out from the world into the kingdom of God. Here ends the third in the series. Next Sunday is our Chris Ingle service, and the topic I had for that talk is actually why the delay. But because it is Chris Ingle service, I'm not preaching at 8, I'm not preaching at 10:30, but anybody would like to get those notes, please let me know. Yeah.